Welcome to the Run Lift Mom podcast, where we're talking about running, lifting, and momming, not necessarily in that order. Today, we are squarely in the running category, and I have got Mandy Carter, a late-to-life runner who is making up for lost time with half marathons as well as full marathons. She talks us through her Chicago 2021 experience, where her performance wasn't necessarily what she thought it would be. This is a very relatable story, and Mandy gets in the details about what it took self-talk-wise to get her through the race, as well as her mindset after the race, where she was a little disappointed with the performance. This is the highlight reel that we don't usually talk about. It is about as real talk as you get, and I am thrilled to have Mandy very confidently and courageously talking through this. So without further ado, Mandy Carter. All right. Welcome, Mandy Carter, to the Run Lift Mom podcast. I'm so jazzed to have you here today. How are you?
Hey, Susie. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
I want to jump right into things, Mandy. We're, of course, going to discuss specifically your Chicago experience, but let's back up the bus and tell me a little bit about your background as a runner.
All right. Well, I think you know that the label of runner is one that I still struggle with, but I have kind of two different starts with running, I guess. I have a pretty typical background where I wasn't athletic at all growing up and kind of fell into running here and there in college. My roommate would convince me to run. I'd go out once a semester, get so sore, I would never want to try it again. So I kept that up for a little while, but got into it legitimately, I'd say, right after I graduated from law school and started to work in a desk job and felt like I was just sitting still all the time, and found a local run group, the Godiva Track Club in Durham, North Carolina, and they had a Couch to 5K running group and joined that and had a really good experience there and became friends with a few of the other members of the Couch to 5K group, and we decided to kind of see it all the way through to a half marathon, and we did the Raleigh Rock and Roll Half Marathon at the time, and that was back, I want to say, 2007, 2008. And so trained really quickly all the way from couch to a half marathon. And then I dropped it all. And I started having kids, a career change, moved to Charlotte, all of that. And just didn't really move my body for about 10, 11 years. And after my second son, I just really didn't feel like myself at all, and was fortunate to find a really great community at a local gym in Concord, North Carolina. And they had a run club that was starting, and they had a goal to work toward a half marathon in a few months. And so I signed up for that half marathon. It was supposed to be in December, the Huntersville half, and life happened. I kept up with the running a bit, but my husband's schedule was crazy that fall, and I didn't really prioritize running and had to drop from the half to the 5K at that same race event. And I came home that night, and I was so frustrated with myself because I was proud of myself for seeing through some part of the race, but I really wanted to see the half marathon through again. And so that night I found a race just a few months out, which happened to be the Raleigh Rock and Roll Half Marathon again, and signed up for that. And it was in March, I believe, that year, and did it and never stopped running after that. I kind of became addicted to races and filled my calendar with race after race after race. And all of that blossomed into, you know, plenty of half marathons since then, a few full marathons, and we'll just see where this journey takes us. So ran, took a long break, ran again, and we're still in it.
I think that is so relatable to just when life happens and we have to take a break. I'm glad you mentioned that. Something that sticks out to me is that you seek that community first in both seasons, the first time that you got into running, as well as that, I'll call it a restart. So can I just ask you to expand on why is having a community so important?
I am kind of a loner by nature. I really, recharge on my own, and it's hard for me to seek out community, but there's something about doing a common event together and sharing common interest that is really empowering and motivating. You get the accountability built in, and just sharing space with like-minded people is great. And I love the running community, both online and in person, because you're just challenged to another level. There's always going to be someone who's a bit better than you, but for whatever reason, runners are of the breed and of the nature where they're so giving in their advice and in their encouragement, and really just wanting the best out of you and from you. And so really community in the fitness space, the exercise space has been just a real surprise and a real treat and joy for me to get involved in, because again, it's like-minded people. And as we're bettering ourselves, we want others to better themselves. And it's a really attractive and engaging and addicting group to be a part of.
I know that the listener is, yeah, that's what my community is like too. It's one of those, you can't compete against me if I'm cheering for you kind of scenarios.
Right. Yeah. And I've had some feelings of not belonging in certain corners of the running space, but a lot of it is self-imposed and my own insecurities about kind of where I am and my pace and abilities as a runner. But by and far, like, everyone is there just wanting the best to get out of themselves and out of others. I think when you move and you realize the power of movement, you want everyone to experience it. And so it's really an all-come type of environment. And I'm grateful to have found it. It's brought me so much.
Oh, awesome. Hey, let's zone in on your experience specific to the Chicago Marathon. I definitely want to go into this. I reached out to you originally, not just because you're a great person, but then also you had a really unique, I want to say, mindset experience with Chicago. So talk to me a little bit about why you chose that race and what training was like.
Yeah, so Chicago, I applied for the lottery back in 2019, and I think I was fresh off the, well, I think I applied before I finished New York. New York was my first marathon, and it was an amazing, surreal experience. And so I think kind of riding that high leading into the race, the applications for Chicago opened, and I applied before I'd even, you know, finished my first, knowing that I wanted to go through the process again. So got into Chicago in 2019. And then we know what happens after that. The world shut down. And so the race was kind of a long time coming. I like big races because I am a back of the pack runner. I like to still feel I have people around me. So I usually go for the bigger races and the bigger events so that I feel there will be still people finishing when I finish. And so there was a lot of time, a lot of buildup for Chicago. I participated in the virtual event for 2020 that they had. I think I did the 8K then. But then the all of 2021 leading into the fall, there were still a lot of questions about, is the race even going to happen? And I never really allowed myself to get excited about the race because I always felt like it was just not going to happen. I think once we started to see some of the other world majors happening, like Berlin and London happened before Chicago, I started to get a bit more comfortable. But still here in the US, a lot of big races were being canceled. And so I just always trained. I kept training, but I trained with the idea that this is not going to happen. And I think that I just didn't allow myself to get excited about the race. And that affected me going into the race. Even up until the week before the race, I remember talking to people and saying, I don't know if I should go, because back at home, things were kind of out of control with work. And then my husband's schedule had picked up again. And so getting the kids to school while I was gone, I was just carrying a lot of that stress and just the questions of, is it worth it? Will the experience be the same? Because I'd experienced New York and knew what a full world major experience would be like. And then in the spring, I did the Shamrock Marathon in Virginia Beach. And it was an altered weekend. It was kind of an open course, run it whenever you want to type of weekend. And it was definitely a race environment, but it was different. And I knew that I wanted, if I'm making the expense and the effort to travel to Chicago, I wanted it to feel legit. And so I was just nervous about that and still really just not excited about the event at all. I think that affected me for sure going into the race. And because just to contrast it to New York again, I was so excited about New York. I had researched everything about the course. It's a logistical beast anyway, but I knew that course and the miles and what you should look for in and out. I'd watched virtual videos of the race course, everything just to prepare before the race. With Chicago, Susie, I didn't even look at the course map until we got a handout at the expo in Chicago. So my preparation, my mindset was very different going into Chicago versus New York. So I didn't have the excitement, which also means
you really did not think this race was happening, did you?
No, I didn't. And I guess I also didn't really have the nerves either, which is a blessing. But I think with Chicago, the big thing that weekend was the weather. I had trained all summer here in North Carolina with the heat and the humidity. And I remember on several of the just long, miserable summer runs, I would just think to myself, it's going to be cooler in Chicago. Because, I mean, it's October, it's Chicago, you think it's going to be cooler. Well, joke's on me. It was not cooler in Chicago that weekend. And I am the type where I will stalk the weather as soon as the 15-day forecast is available. And so started to stalk that weather forecast and you see these temperatures and you're like, oh, that's not right. And all of the Facebook marathon pages, they were saying, just hold on, the weather will change. It changes by the hour here. It'll be fine. Well, the closer we got to it, it just kept getting warmer and warmer. And so weather was going to be a factor. So I had to kind of adjust my mindset there and remind myself, you've trained for this. You've trained through worse conditions. But the event itself had kind of a colored warning system, green, yellow, red. And going into marathon weekend, the race was placed in yellow status, which was kind of less than ideal conditions. And so you deal with that, you accept that for what it is. But on race day, during the race, I think I was probably about a third of the way through, they changed the course conditions to red status. And so that was another kind of mental struggle for me to get the notification came through my phone, which came through my watch, that the course was now in the red status. And then at every aid station, they changed the flags from yellow to red. So you had kind of this visual change from the colors of yellow to red. And of course, red is stop, but I was always worried about the black change next because I know that they have stopped that race before and I knew that I was in the back of the pack. I didn't want to be pulled off the course.
Right.
I
want to say in 2007 is what you're referring to. In 2007, they stopped the race. And if there's someone listening that's like, well, so what if the temperatures raise? Like, what's the big deal? Why is she even worried about this? Or maybe you're not familiar with running, listener. I want to, like, the reason why there's that color coded and the reason why Mandy is talking about exercising this caution and that alert coming through on her watch being such a big deal. It's as temperatures and humidity and that kind of thing rises, it becomes harder for your body to cool itself down. So then you're getting in the territory of worrying about, like, heat cramps would be a blessing. We're worried about, like, heat exhaustion, heat stroke. Like, it's a real, when a race is getting, I mean, yellow is concerning, but mm-hmm. then red on the course. And so I just want to make that clarification. And like you said, this is a race that has had a history of running out of aid, running out of water, which is what happened in 2007, and then stopping the race outright.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they did communicate with us about there were going to be some misting stations, and I think there were sponges in different parts of the course. I never grabbed those because it just, they were kind of in kiddie pools. It was a very weird setup and I just didn't trust it, but it was different. And I knew too, sun is my kryptonite, direct sun. I don't know why, it just cripples me. And I knew that it was not a shady course, and the good Lord above blessed us with the cloud for the first part of the race, which means that it means that it's humid, right, with the cloud. But the cloud kept the sun away until probably around mile 21. And then the sun came out, and it came out in full force and kind of baked me there. But I've never seen so many people at the aid tents or just walking, or it was warm. But everybody's dealing with the same weather. It's not like it was just bad weather for me, or difficult weather, I should say, for me. Everyone was dealing with the same thing. And so again, back to that community, let's just get through it mindset there. But so there were, you know, a lot of mindset hurdles to get through with Chicago. The race itself, the people showed up, the city of Chicago showed up. They were very loud and proud to have the race back in their city. I think that was a concern of mine. What's it going to feel? It definitely still felt like a full event for race weekend. And the race did a great job, I think, of keeping us safe, both at the expo and through the race experience. But the heat did affect me. I had cramps in my right quad for the first time ever, and I had tried to be as proactive as I could. I took a salt pill in the starting corral, carried a water bottle with me, which I usually don't do that, but I did. I took water and Gatorade at every water stop. I had salt pills and salt tabs with me on the course, and I still had three different instances of my quad seizing again, which I've never had before. That was fun. I think every race I do, my body does something different that I've never experienced before. And so it was the cramps this time, but we made it through. And I remember going through the race, I had a pace band on because I did have a time goal. And after that first cramp, I had to really slow and walk for a bit because it took a while to recover from it. And I remember taking my pace band off and throwing it away and knowing that that time wasn't going to be possible. But I kept telling myself, like, be proud of what you're doing. You're out there. You're going to finish. I never had a question about not finishing. I'm pretty sturdy and I'm stubborn and I know I'll finish. But so that wasn't the question. It was just, when am I going to finish? And so I remember telling myself throughout the race, hold your head high, be proud. And when I crossed the finish line, it was way longer than I had anticipated, but I was proud and I was happy. And I did not really look at my time, try not to focus on that, just try to, again, appreciate what my body could do, appreciate that I was able to finish that distance and that I was still upright and moving. And then a couple of days later, that's when I kind of went to the basement with my feelings and also just with my reflections on the race. Don't know if it was just a lack of sleep. I didn't sleep well in Chicago or right when I got home, but I really just went into the basement with my emotions about it and started feeling, or really just beating myself up about, why didn't you run more here? Why did you walk more? Why did you let the sun affect you like you did? And just, why do you keep doing this when I've had a race goal or pace goal, I should say, for the last two marathons that I've done, and I've not met it with either one. And being a, I don't want to say slower runner, but being a runner that takes a bit more time than others, I'm taking a lot of time away from my family to train. And so I just went to this place of, why keep doing this if you're just not seeing the progress when it counts on race day? So I sat in those emotions for a while, I think until I finally got a good night of sleep, and still kind of go back to that place, but really did take some time to reflect on what happened with the race and learn from that experience and move forward with new goals. Because I do want to keep going with this. I do believe that there is more in me. There is untapped potential in me, and that's what's that is what keeps me coming back to running, is just this idea of this challenge and this, again, I guess, untapped potential inside. I want to see what I am capable of still. And I want my kids to see that as well. Yes, I do take time away from them to train, and sometimes it's longer time, but I want them to see me go through the process of setting these big, crazy goals. And they get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly too when I come back from a challenging training run or a positive training run. I want them to see me go through that process, and I hope it encourages them and encourages others that I'll keep toeing that start line and keep giving it what I can.
This is Run, Lift, Mom, and I'm glad that you brought your kids up, right, for that mom part, because you are modeling healthy behavior for them, but then you're also modeling that every time you try to do something that you want to do in your heart of hearts, you're not always able to do it. That is so, so relatable. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. So you're feeling all the feelings. You're in the basement, as you said, bad self is talking to you. Did you allow that to go on for a certain amount of time? Was there a point where you cut it off, or did you let yourself kind of come out of that fog?
Yeah, I tend to be the type to, if I hear a bit of negative criticism, I'll drown out all of the positive. And so there was a comment that was made by someone that I was traveling with who said, oh, like 1,000 people finished behind you. And for some reason, it wasn't intended to be negative, but I took it that way just to think about, oh, out of this big race, look at how close I was to the end. And that comment just kept, I kept marinating on that comment just kind of over and over again. And I did sit in the ugly parts for a good few days, I'd say, until I got some good sleep. And I think the sleep gave me some perspective and kind of turned the frustration into determination. And let's go. Let's set some new goals. Let's get after it. But I tend to sit in the emotions for a while, a few days to a week. That's just kind of part of my process. But I think that time for reflection and evaluation is beneficial because it allows refinement of future goals. And I believe that nothing's wasted. I learned about Chicago. I learned I probably need to allow myself to get excited about things. I need to figure out how to break through and push. I get to a point sometimes, I think, in races and in training runs too, where I get scared about not having enough at the end. And so I'll hold back. And I need to figure out how to take it to that next gear and just leave it all out on the table. And so I think that's what I want to focus in on now, is kind of embracing that fear, pushing the boundaries. I know I can trust my body. I've seen the distance. I know it can do the distance. So now let's figure out how to really push within that distance. And that's what I want to focus on next.
So if there's someone listening that's maybe been through this, maybe they have attempted a race and not done the race and not achieved the outcome that they had hoped. I hear you loud and clear, Mandy. Get you a good night of sleep. But then also, I love what you've done in terms of, okay, what's the lesson here and what can I change or adapt moving forward? Love that. I just love it. So you've got, definitely, you mentioned that you are continuing to run and challenge yourself and using this lesson moving forward. Where can folks connect with you, Mandy Carter?
Oh, yeah. So I hang out mostly on Instagram, I think, with the running part of my life. So I'm on Instagram. The Mandy Carter is my username. So that's kind of my little corner of the internet world.
And I will definitely link that in the show notes. As I take you out here in this episode of Run, Lift, Mom, what would you say your top takeaway was from this experience?
Just keep showing up. Keep trying. It's such a gift to be able to move. If you have the ability, don't waste it. There is power in movement, and there are lessons on the pavement that translate into so many different areas of life. I think running is such a great teacher. And just, I'm grateful to be able. That's kind of my mantra for running. And there's a lesson in all of it.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Mandy.
Yes. Thank you, Susie.
I'm Mandy, thank you so much for coming on the show. Friends, I want you to click details or swipe up. You can find Mandy on Instagram at TheMandyCarter. And until I get into your earpiece again, remember, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. That's from 1 Timothy 4:8, and this has been the Run, Lift, Mom podcast.